Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Miss Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, the next phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific, a full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Good evening. Welcome to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends, heard Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 until 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always like to offer this brief disclaimer in the beginning of the show. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the hosts, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Our brief description of the show is, this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests, all these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of this society or any members for this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include in this introduction, just join us as we seek truth on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. Or you can email us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics that they find interesting.
We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
We got the change and the change came, bring it alive, Obama, household name, put your forward in a brand new way, third world that makes you keep singing them freedom songs, we got a spirit cause our God made it strong. With a promise, 30 acres and a mule. Nowhere in this to be so cruel. Standing for the belief like I lead. Fighting in an unknown zone. Put away that strife, bring our truth back home. I wish Pop was alive. See the better day when the knees fell down and his heels broke down. Victory in the heart, so amazing where we start. In the midst of the pain, the rain came. Why does the seed preserve and stay and not for the fame? World would let it, but I must confess.
I'm free, like an eagle in the sky. Here ain't no lie.
Civil rights movement, how we went from the slave ship to the president. The dream of Dr. King is what we represent. Our mind clean, non-violent. We bring peace to the environment. And we love all men, women, and children. Not judging by the color of their skin. We blend, characterized by the content within. Equalized by the constitution. Eyes on the prize.
color lines to the red, white, and blue fly with no color lines. The reality to the vision of a sweet eye. One trapped at the bottom, now we fly high. And God's not done yet. If sunrise is victory, then never show a sunset. We've had many years and tears, and thank God we trust, so it's already done. And we don't need a receipt for this one. You can have to bring back. No, we can't.
Like an eagle in the sky, there ain't no lie.
Hey, good evening, and welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends right here on Blog Talk Radio. And heard every, well, almost every Thursday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. That was music from the Crosswalk Coalition. You can find them on www.facebook.com, the Crosswalk Coalition. That's a group that my son's associated with out in California on the West Coast. And if you like their music, they're a gospel rap group. And I think they do a really good job. Really appreciate them supplying me with that music. That was entitled "I'm Free." And also, I'd like to thank Miss Paralegal for the wonderful promo that she did for me. Really appreciate her assistance. She's a professional and very articulate and superior talent, in my opinion. Miss Paralegal, appreciate you for what you did with that promo. And looking at West Texas weather right quick, because I am in Texas, looking at Texas weather. Right now where I am, temperature is about what? Temperature is about 91 degrees outside, and no chance for rain, absolutely none whatsoever. It's, well, 95 actually. It's winds about 9 to 14 miles per hour, and so it's kind of hot out this way. And one of the things I want to look at right quick in the beginning of the show is the weather situation that's occurred in Texas. And I'm looking at KERA weather look. And weather helps West Texas wildfires in midday roundup. KERA news and wire service, 2011-421. Dallas, Texas, that's where KERA is located. Rain that came along with a thunderstorm that moved through North Texas missed most of the area. Where a massive wildfire was burning, is burning, but did bring the cool temperatures and high humidity that helps firefighters. The blaze, known as the Possum Kingdom Complex, is about 70 miles west of Fort Worth. It's charred nearly 150,000 acres and incinerated at least 160 homes. It's one of several Texas wildfires firefighters have been battling with in recent weeks. National Weather Service meteorologist Ted Ryan says the bulk of the area where the fires are burning didn't get significant rain as the storm moved through late Wednesday night. But Ryan says 20 to 30% chance of rain was expected there Thursday with a high of around 70 degrees and winds of up to 10 to 15 miles per hour. A wildfire official says the fight against two large fires burning in West Texas has been helped by the cooler weather. Bridget Litton, a spokesman for the Federal Incident Management Team coordinating the firefight, says 160,000 acres wildcat, 160,000 acre wildcat fire in Coke County is at the stage where firefighters are just making sure nothing else pops up. She says firefighters plan to cut a line Thursday in front of the fire near Fort Davis that has burned 202,000 acres and 40 structures. The fire is burning in a canyon, and the plan is to burn the area between the fires and the line to stop it. Both fires are 75% contained. Senate committee approves the budget. The Senate committee has approved the next two-year budget state using $3 billion from the Rainy Day Fund as to help make it balance. The 11-4 sends 2012-2013 budget to the full Senate, full chamber for consideration. Anyway, now that was a look at our weather out here in West in Texas, and one of the areas that was close to where I was born and raised, in Palo Pinto County, Palo Pinto, Texas, Palo Pinto, P-A-L-O-P-I-N-T-O, Palo Pinto County. The town is actually Palo Pinto, not far from Mineral Wells, Texas. They evacuated 400 individuals. There have been, I believe, up to this point. Two firefighters who have lost their lives, in addition to the homes and tremendous damage to the lands out in those areas. And, you know, praying, if you believe in prayer, for rain or something to cause these fires to subside, it would be nice. We haven't, I think the last rainfall that I've heard of is about 7 months ago out here where I am. And I understand somewhere around in the other different areas, like up in the north, northern New York, there's been snow flurries. Can you believe it? Snow flurries, and I'm not sure if the ground's cold enough. I don't think it is for it to stick. And on the east side, I've heard of tremendous wind storms, if not tornadoes. I know there have been some tornadoes, I think, around Mississippi, Alabama, and also Oklahoma, with some loss of life and some miraculous situations that have occurred in the midst of those terrible occurrences with the winds and so forth. Strange weather conditions. Very strange weather conditions. You know, if you have any belief in, you know, some of what the Bible says, you know. As a matter of fact, I want to wish you, since I won't get a chance to visit with you, and trust me, I've had some experiences with people who aren't really that fond of the occasions that are occurring this week, but there are those people who have who look forward to some of the occurrences that are going to take place this week, such as tomorrow will be, if I'm not mistaken, Good Friday, leading up to Easter. So that always reminds me of Christmas. Easter is a symbolic time when Jesus Christ was born, around the symbolic date of December the 25th, or at least that's the date that has been celebrated over the years. If you happen to believe, if you happen to have that faith, you know, if you don't, I understand. It makes perfect sense. But he is the Savior that was born on around Christmas Day, or in that part of the year, and was for the fulfillment of the Bible, actually. Born, died, and resurrected. And Easter represents the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, like I say, if you subscribe to that, I understand. And if you don't subscribe to that, I understand as well. Because, you know, there for the longest time, I assumed that everyone subscribed to the Christian faith until I got online. And, well, actually, I had read about some different faiths. I read a book about Malcolm X, and I really didn't. It was back in the mid to late 70s when I read that book, and also went to the movie. But and I had no idea what Muslim faith was all about. So I've encountered some individuals and whom I consider some to be friends that I've met across the airwaves, never personally, who believe in the Muslim faith and also different other faiths, and some don't believe in any faith. I mean, don't, you know, agnostics or either what a person might call atheist. But and my idea is always that I'll not try to necessarily convince you to be a part of my faith and my belief system if you don't try to convince me to be a part of your belief system. Because I think that, you know, whatever you believe in, you bet your life on it, especially having to do with faith. You're betting your life on it. So the way I choose to place my life, I feel is valid and significant and important to me based on the research that I do, based on the considerations that I've made over these 59 years. The conclusions that I've come to have led me to the beliefs that I have, and those beliefs I pass on to my offspring. And always with the caveat that they have to find these beliefs or utilize these mechanisms, belief systems, faith systems, as they see fit, you know. So, you know, they have to do some research and come to some conclusions, and I can only hope, you know, because to my idea, if I'm in error, the only thing I feel I can do is live a reasonably decent life. And if I'm correct, then, you know, everything will work out for itself. Now, let me just say with that, if you believe in the current season, let me say to you, Happy Easter. I don't believe in the Easter Bunny. I don't believe in that kind of thing. But, you know, there are children who, for whatever reason, have – I remember when I was young, we used to – that was one of the events that you look forward to was the – Sunday Easter egg hunt and so forth. I don't know if many of you can relate to that, but we had that at the church that I attended when I was young, and it was always a, you know, reasonably exciting time. I understand that it's a time that people use to market and increase their commercial interest, but it also is a time that people can, you know, have exchanges, fair exchanges of intellectual information, and hopefully it will be of some benefit to whomever is engaged in those types of conversations. Now, let me get on to politics, as this is what I usually do. I'm primarily oriented toward, you know, politics. I love politics, but we get into other issues. We get into music. I want to get into some spoken word if I can find anyone. If you know anyone that's in the spoken word or poetry or anything like that, give me a call at 347-945-7040, 347-945-7040, and we'd like to have you come on. We will schedule a time and invite you to come on and share your poetry, and because I really appreciate that creativity and that the genius that it takes to present, not only to construct and to present poetry. And prose. So I really appreciate you. And if you give if you don't mind, give us a call. You know, 347-945-7040. Or if you don't want to call in, drop me a line. blak.1@gmail.com. blakicz.1@gmail.com. Black Ice. blakicz@gmail.com. We're going to get that right. This is the last time, and I will make it. I won't have to do another run on it. blakicz.1@gmail.com. If you have that spoken word or prose or any other interest that you'd like to have shared or like for us to consider sharing on the show, we'd be more than happy to take a look at it, because I really would like to share some spoken word on the show sometime, if at all possible. Let me take a look at the emergency dictators who could rule Detroit. New Michigan law allows managers to wreak havoc, and it may be coming to a city near you. you know, you have people tell you you shouldn't be concerned about voting. Why should you vote? You know, your vote doesn't matter. What I would say, hey, Chatologist, how you doing? Chatologist, welcome to the room. I'm glad to see you, and you know you're welcome to call. But in the chat room here at Blog Talk Radio, thank you for coming. But anyway, what I would like to share with you is my perspective on voting. To me, you know, a lot of people, I don't vote, I don't, you know, and I guarantee you Republicans are going to vote. I happen to be a Democrat, and I personally, I don't particularly like Republicans, and that's just the way it is. I've been a Democrat for 59 years, and I don't plan to change. I'm not an independent. I'm not a progressive. I'm not a liberal. I'm just a Democrat, period. That's just the way I roll. Now, some people who've taken leisure and voted with the Republican Party, and what they run into is this situation that I'm talking about right now, the emergency dictators who could rule Detroit. New Michigan law allows managers to wreak havoc, and it may be coming to a city near you. This is by Dr. C. Alonzo Peters of The Loop, Dateline Monday, 4/18 at 9:42 a.m. In a power grab that would make the Godfather's Don Corleone blush, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder recently signed some fairly radical legislation into law that grants unprecedented power to non-elected officials. The new law will have municipalities deemed to be in financial crisis appointed an emergency financial manager endowed with the ability to break labor agreements, sell off public city assets, cut the wages of public employees, and privatize city services. These managers could strip elected public leaders of their powers and even dissolve entire towns and school districts, all without any accountability to you, the public. Michigan's small government conservatives concerned about excessive government intrusion sure have a funny way of showing it. Quote, this law takes our form of local democracy and throws it out. Dictatorial powers are given to managers with no checks or balances. And that's unquote. Mark Gaffney, Michigan AFL-CIO president, explained to The Loop. Supporters, however, claim it is the only way to keep troubled cities and schools from sliding into bankruptcy. Detroit alone is dealing with a budget deficit projected to climb to $1.2 billion by fiscal 2015. Emergency managers, they argue, need the ability to void costly union contracts and outsource city services. Again, an attack on the unions. But, I mean, if you don't vote, if you didn't vote for governor, you actually did vote. See, there is no way you cannot vote, period. Because if you don't vote, then you are voting for the other side. And I guarantee you they're going to vote. And they're going to vote against probably your best interest. If you happen to be one of the potentially affected individuals involved in this situation here, the dictatorial powers are giving managers no checks and balances, ability to break labor. If you're part of a labor agreement, or if you have an interest in city assets, if you're a city individual, city personnel, or it's going to cut the wages of public employees and privatize city services. So if you're a city employee, there is a strong possibility that you will not have a job once these city managers take over your town. Okay? Now, but it may be Governor Snyder himself who is helping push municipalities and schools over the financial ledge. Of course it is. According to Gaffney, the governor has slashed state revenue sharing with cities by a third and enacted a $470 per pupil cost cut to school districts. $470 per pupil cut to school districts, all while proposing, this is cool, a 60% business tax cut. Gaffney estimates that Snyder's actions could double the number of cities sliding into financial difficulties, creating even more opportunities for emergency manager takeovers. But you have to hand it to the governor. He's managed to pass a bill more extreme than his clumsy Wisconsin counterpart, Scott Walker, all without national media attention. I don't know if you've heard this. You probably heard this on the national media. If not, you're definitely hearing it on the alternative media right here on Blog Talk Radio, all without national media attention. In the process, he's achieved the conservative dream of crushing unions while serving up public assets to the gods of the free market. The bill allows selling off city assets or privatizing city services to corporate interests and contractors, all under the guise of raising money to pay down municipal debt. That's the guise. The guise, you know, bamboozle, hornswoggle, what's the other one? Anyway, run amok. But this is the guise of raising money to pay down municipal debt. As Michigan State Senator Coleman Young II tells The Loop, the emergency manager law could intensify efforts to privatize many of Detroit's jewels. Already the city's convention center has been privatized with future plans to privatize some Detroit schools. An emergency manager assigned to Detroit could surely carve up the city for further corporate feasting. You see, this will affect you. So if you didn't vote for governor, or you didn't vote for a councilman or assemblyman or whatever you have there in Detroit, Michigan, you did vote. You can't not vote. You're going to vote for one person or another. If you don't take an active role, then somebody will take it for you. In other words, my saying is, if you don't use your head, somebody will use it for you. There is also a larger worry of a developing national trend that could end up in a city near you. So if you're looking at Detroit and going, oh, man, what's happening to them, you may be a them in the future. If dismantling unions won't work, other governors might take up Snyder's cause. And as Mother Jones Magazine's Andy Kroll reports, many of the provisions in the emergency manager's law came straight from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, a free market think tank funded by the billionaire, guess who, Koch brothers and other conservative bigs. The Mackinac Center is a fervent advocate of privatization. Its scholars support outsourcing everything from public school districts to Amtrak to state prisons, and backs anti-union legislation for Michigan, warns Kroll. Mackinac's president, Joseph G. All right? So, again, I'd just like to emphasize to you that if you didn't vote, if you listen to people that tell you, oh, I don't vote, you're going to vote one way or another. If you don't vote for your own best interest, then you're allowing somebody else to vote their best interest on you. Lehman hotly disagrees with Cole's assessment. He frames it as a crusade against unions who are dragging down state and city budgets with unreasonable wage demands. So if you're a union member, or if you subscribe to the idea that unions are negative, are not a necessary part of negotiations, that union, the term union, only means people unified to represent in a group, the same thing that the Koch brothers are doing with their think tanks and the other wealthy individuals who are joining together. They actually are unions, but they're just unions for the wealthy. Emergency financial managers will have more authority to keep cities and school districts out of bankruptcy, even if it means telling unions they can't have everything they want, wrote Lehman in a recent a letter to Mackinac members. Pending legislation would lower the cost of public buildings by ending the practice of shielding union contractors from competition. Some who oppose free market reforms are quick to blame us for what they think is now going wrong in Lansing, Michigan. But one doesn't have to look far to understand the potentially disastrous effects of privatization. Privatization, remember that word, privatization. It takes things from the public sector, gives it to private individuals who have the financial wherewithal to make certain determinations that may not be in your best interest. Hopefully, I can associate this with the Representative Ryan's budget. And you can see that there's a continuity between what's going on in Lansing, Michigan, what's going on in the Congress with the newly elected majority Republican House. All of these guys have an interest at, if you think that you run into impediments, if you think that you've run into some almost insurmountable opposition in the past, get ready. And I'm telling you, if voting is just one tool, it's just one tool in your tool chest. And let me encourage you, if there was any way I could compel you, use that one tool because it's going to be very significant. But arm yourself with information. You know, don't just accept what the corporate media. Chris Matthews doesn't necessarily have an interest in anything that's relevant to you. This guy makes several million dollars, I'm sure. He's an egotist, and he directs the topic to whatever his interests involve. And they may or may not involve the interests that are significant to you and your family and your community. You know, and the Andrea Mitchells, they don't have an interest in you. The Joe Scarboroughs, they don't have an interest in you, honestly. The Wolf Blitzers, they don't have an interest in you. John Kings, they don't have an interest in you. Brian Williams, they could care less about you. But they are the corporate media, the mouthpieces of the corporate media. And you won't find information a lot of times as to what the disastrous results of corporations are going to do to you. From coming out, why would a corporate media individual tell you necessarily? You know, you can get the information, but you have to do some searching for it. And what we try to do is to find some information that you may or may not be aware of, or you may not pay any attention to, and bring it to your attention at least where you will have some reasonably fair means of support or defending yourself and your family. But anyway, Chicago leased its parking meters for 75 years to a private company backed by Morgan Stanley. So now when you get a ticket for a parking meter, your money goes to Wall Street. Parking rates quickly quadrupled, and an analyst estimated the city was suckered out of nearly $1 billion in the deal. So when the money comes away, $1 billion comes out of your city and you still need the services, then your taxes are going to go up. And then they'll say, well, we can't pay the high taxes here, so we're going to leave your town. So they leave your town, take the companies with them. You can't move because you can't afford to, so you lose your job. Then you're seeking welfare and unemployment, as I would be. I'm not saying you by yourself. I'm saying I'm ringing the alarm. I'm the canary in the mine shaft. I'm just saying that these, to me, are the things that are very significant and should be considered whenever you hear someone tell you, oh, your vote doesn't count, all politicians are all the same. I'm telling you, you better find out for sure that all politicians are not the same, and your vote does count. If it didn't, they'd be running over you right now. What they try to do is run over you intellectually and subliminally. They try to market to you. They try to buy you. Because this country, until they impose martial law, which to me, I heard someone said that earlier. I can't remember who it was. I think it was a chatter in a room that I frequent sometimes. She called this martial law, and it was happening in Michigan, the government takeover. And they say take government out of your private life. That's what they're doing. The Republicans talk out of two sides of their mouth. On the one hand, they say take a big government out of your pocket and out of your life. On the other hand, they want to impose. It's where it's an advantage for them, in my opinion. That's just me. And, of course, I'm a Democrat, so you may want to listen to some Republicans if you don't agree with me. Or you can give me a call, 347-945-7040. You can drop me a line at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Anyway, while union busting is doling out public goodies to corporate interests, isn't bad enough. Perhaps the worst legacy of the emergency manager law is the questionable contrast with basic democracy. Imagine teachers being told they must take a 35% pay cut or that your local public parks is being sold to a creative private golf course or that your police force will be cut in half or that your duly elected officials are being stripped of their powers, all without public input, all without your input. This is for all intents and purposes, this is actually slavery. And if you don't stand up for it or against it, then you will be enslaved, whether you like it or you don't like it. If you don't stand up for it and take a position in opposition to this, like what's going on in Wisconsin with the public beginning to stand up in Michigan, if you don't start forming an oppositional force to these Republicans there, this governor and so forth, then you might as well consider yourself willfully, because if you don't vote, you're voting for slavery. It's enough to make even the staunchest Tea Party member cringe. Remember the Tea Party? Stay out of our business. Well, don't tread on me. Well, they are treading on you. They are treading on you. Just weeks after passage of the law, the emergency manager of Benton Harbor, this is the town that really has my interest. Just weeks after passage of the law, the emergency manager of Benton Harbor, Michigan, had already suspended the power of the city officials in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Why bother influencing elections with corporate money and disenfranchised voters when you can simply strip power from those duly elected? May I read that again? Why bother influencing elections with corporate money? So this saves money. And disenfranchised voters when you can simply just strip power from those duly elected. This Senator Young is emphatic about the warning signs, okay? The, quote, unquote, the emergency manager law represents a catastrophic constitutional carnage, worries Young. It's an overthrow of democracy leading to tyranny, all right? So that was an article in The Loop, and it's a recent article. As a matter of fact, I just pulled it up, but it was written the 4/18/2011. The emergency dictators who could rule Detroit. And this is by Dr. C. Alonzo Peters of The Loop, right? Anyway, we have some more information about that I'd like to share with you at this point. I'd like to say first, let me go through and mention some individuals that I have a tremendous amount of respect and appreciation for. Especially this one friend of mine, I always have a problem. I don't have my things in order, but I will do it this way. What I'll do is I'll do it this way. Let me say congratulations and welcome back, Sister Indy DeClaire. She comes on daily at 10 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Saturday, I believe. And the real raw right now, Sister Indy DeClaire. And she is a phenomenal a lady with a wonderful program. And also, let me say congratulations to her and for coming back. Well, welcome back. Missed you. Sister Navazor, and that, if you go to Block Talk Radio, all you have to do is type in the search block, I-N-D-I-A, India, D-E-C-L-A-I-R, India Declare, and it'll give you all the information that you need to find her show, and I guarantee you'll be well rewarded if you get a chance to take a listen to it. Sister Navazor, she's on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, has a wonderful show. I've had a chance to check it out before, and I think you'll enjoy her approach to current events as well as events that would be of some assistance to any individual who would take a listen, stop and listen to what she has to say. Extremely beneficial. Miss Janice Graham, Our Common Ground, Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and she has a network, Miss Graham does, and I think they have a show on opposite mine right now. And so, you know, you take a listen. You can look her up, J-A-N-I-C-E, Janice Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M. Drop it in the Blog Talk search bar, and it'll pull up the information about Sister Janice Graham and her network. And also, Miss Quiet Storm, dear sister, wonderful lady. She does a show on Saturdays, 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 Mountain, 1 Central, and 12 Eastern. And you can find her at Blog Talk Radio, Miss Quiet Storm, or she has the Facebook account is www.facebook.com, Miss Quiet Storm, and she has a site. The site is www.missquietstorm.com. You can look her up that way also. And Dr. Reba, welcome back. The Covenant Connection, Your Best Marriage Now, is a book that Dr. Reba has out. And we'd invite you to take a look at her, at the information that she can share with you at Dr. Reba. That's www.rebahaley.com. Dr. Reba. Reba Haley. www.rebahaley.com. And she has a tremendous amount of information and a phenomenal, she's amassed a phenomenal amount of accolades and accomplishments over her career. And take a look, and she addresses the book, The Covenant Connection, Your Best Marriage Now, addresses relationships and situations I think that people encounter, and how you can resolve those issues from many different perspectives. And she has information from a spiritual perspective, from a financial perspective, and many different ways. And that's www.rebahaley.com. Miss Blue, Miss Raspberry Wynn, Miss Blue. And you can call and get Miss Blue at 641-715-3800. And the access code, I think, is 10569. It's Know Your Magic. And it's open to everyone in the universe. And she's a life coach, Miss Blue. I've known Miss Blue well. I've never met her, but I've met her online, and we've talked, 4 or 5 years, I think, 3, 4, 5 years, something like that. She's a very interesting individual. She's a life coach, and you can give her a call at 641-715-3800, and the access code is 10569. Know Your Magic. And the lines open to everyone in the universe. Brother Alpho. Brother Alpho's on Block Talk Radio, 2 p.m. Saturday, Truth Network. He's part of the Janice Graham Network. Wonderful a show. Very informative individual. Very precise. And he's well equipped with the information that you need to stay abreast of current situations and how they'll affect you. And I got a chance to listen to Miss Carlotta Chatwood and her show. And she allowed me the chance to give a call into her show, Carlotta, C-A-R-L-O-T-T-A, Carlotta, C-H-A-T-W-O-O-D, Carlotta Chatwood. Put her in the search block on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm sure that you will enjoy. I did. I enjoyed my time with her and her guest. Her guest host. And the subject that I got involved in on was, do black men have a lack of respect for black women? Now, if you think that won't get your blood flowing, give it a shot. That's Miss Carlotta Chatwood, C-A-R-L-O-T-T-A, Carlotta Chatwood. And you'll have to look at about, I can't remember what the time is, but over the next little bit, I'll get the information for you and I'll provide it to you. Very entertaining. She says entertainment, politics, and relationships. So take a listen to her. Jay Early, also J-A-Y-A-R-L-E-Y, Jay Early. Drop him in the search block. He does a tremendous job. Mr. Gary McCants, also. Spirituality, check out the search block at Block Talk Radio, G-A-R-Y, Gary McCants. And I'm going to take a little musical interlude for a second so I can find my friend, Ms. Rabia Ahmed, and give you the information on her endeavors. And I'm sure that you're going to be enthused, appreciative, and very interested in what she does with her SMART. Single mothers are really trying. We'll be right back with more of the next phase with Ice and Friends after this brief musical interlude.
All right, we're gonna try a new song. This is a song written by Eddie Harris. Today was the first time we ever saw it. So, with your help, we might do it. This is called Cold Duck Time. Thank you.
album Compared to What. Remember that? No, not Compared to What. That was Cold Duck Time. Remember that one? Back in the day, they did an admirable
Hold
on
up.
That presentation. That is a phenomenal cut. Hey, and listen, I got 901 online. Hold on just a second. And 111 online. Hold on just a second. I put you on here. Just give me just a. I want to say this right quick. I always neglect, not intentionally, my dear sister, Miss Rabia Ahmed, because let me tell you, I am just so appreciative of what she does up in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. And I want to say thank you, Sister Rabia Ahmed. The organizer of SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying. Single Mothers Are Really Trying. Someone who cares and has concern about those people less fortunate than herself, because she really, I'm sure, trust me, she could be like any other individual and not have one little tiny bit of care or concern about not only the mothers, but the children. You understand what I'm saying? The children, not the fetuses. The live children going through what we're going through right now with the likes of the Republican Party and what's going on in Benton Harbor and other places in Michigan. But anyway, let me say, not to be political, because she's not a political individual. She cares more about the individual rather than the politics, but I'm a political person, so let me not smear her with my politics. So let me say again, thank you, Sister Rabia Ahmed, the organizer of SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, a program in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, designed to assist especially women and their families who have had difficulty in their lives. The program actually aids the women and their families in regaining their social and financial footing. Sister Rabia does considerably more than just talk. Thank you, Sister Rabia. Thank you for sharing with us always. www.smart2change.org. www.smart2change.org. Sister Rabia Ahmed. Check out her site, and it'll give you all the information you need to become associated, inspired, be a contributor to, a supporter of Sister Rabia Ahmed. And I am, and will continue to be until I draw my last breath. I'm just so grateful to ever have been associated with this young lady, and thank you for allowing me the honor and delight, the pleasure of your acquaintance. And caller at 901, I'm going to put you on. Are you ready? Hello? How are you? Can you hear me? 901?
Hello? Hello?
Now, who am I speaking with?
This is One in a Million.
What, my buddy? One in a Million. How are you? Well,
I'm
good to hear
good.
You.
How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing okay. Hey, One in a Million. Don't go a place. No place. I'm not going to knock your time, but I have 111, and I want to put them on the air with you, and we'll just visit a little bit. That be okay with you?
Sounds great.
Thank you, One in a Million. Appreciate your indulgence. Right here. One, area code 111. Can you hear me? Wait. What happened? It's not letting me put them. Oh, maybe they're just listening. Okay.
That might
Sarah,
be me.
Hey, 111, can you hear me now?
Okay, I don't know, maybe.
Hello? One, area,
I can,
111?
I can hear
her. Can you hear me?
Is that you?
That's
Sister Rabia.
Yeah, it came up 111.
Okay, I got you on there now. I couldn't, there for a minute, I couldn't get you on the air. So how you doing, little lady?
I'm doing well, thank you. You're so kind. Thank you for your kind words.
Oh, no,
how
no,
are
no.
you?
I'm doing okay. You know One in a Million, right?
No.
Yeah, he's on the chat. He's on the chat venue that we are in sometimes.
I don't think I've ever had the pleasure.
Well, One in a Million, introduce yourself.
I don't
yourself.
Think we've met either. But how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing great.
That's good.
And One in a Million is, I just say Tennessee, is that right?
Yep, Tennessee.
Sister Rabia, don't just hang on a sec. Don't go anywhere, okay?
I'm hanging.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. One in a million. What's up? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, great. I'm gearing up to go to D.C. Monday for Michelle Obama's Easter egg roll.
Ah, congratulations, man!
I'm gonna take my two little granddaughters up there.
Can you see me? Can you see this? Me turning green?
Can you see me turning purple?
Yeah, I got a. They gave me a couple of tickets, and I'm gonna take my granddaughters up there, and we're gonna do some Easter eggs, honey.
Oh, congratulations! God bless you. Hey, wear something so I recognize you. Let me wear something so we'll know who you are.
I think I'm gonna wear an orange. My wife has got me you know how these women are. You know, I was gonna wear just my regular old clothes. She went and had to buy me an outfit, so I'm gonna have on. I'm gonna have on a bright orange shirt. I know that's. So that'll stand out. I don't know, but depending on the weather,
right,
I may have to have a jacket on top of it. So I don't know how it's gonna work. It's a short sleeve shirt. We got great weather here, so I don't know what it's gonna be like in D.C. Monday.
Right.
But I'm gonna wear a bright orange shirt and should have a. Well, I may have a jacket on over it, but you'll spot the shirt.
I tell you what, brother. What did you say?
I'll wave at the camera. No, I won't be that. No.
Do what? You want what?
But if you see an older guy with gray hair with two little girls,
right.
One of them's four and one of them's two.
Right.
So if you see an old guy with orange shirt and two little girls, that's me.
Oh, great. Hey, you know what, one? You know what? Let me say, the sister would be, her phone died on her. I hope she's coming back. I'll be looking for her here on the site. But hey, tell me something, one in a million, if you don't mind. You listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Why are you so against President Obama?
Against? Well, you got me mixed up with somebody else, right? You know, I'm his number one fan. Number one.
Hey, dude, get behind me. I'm telling you, get behind me.
I mean, I'm past liking the brother. I love him.
Me too, man.
Love him.
Me too.
You know, I don't know. I might have been in front of a bullet for him. I'm that passionate about this young man. He's just such a brilliant individual. I love him.
I'm in total agreement with you. You know what? One in a million. There, you know, there's been so much criticism. What do you think about this criticism that he wouldn't stand up in the past? About the budget and all this different kind of stuff. Did you have an opinion about that after what Ryan did?
You said that he wouldn't stand up for it?
Yeah, I've heard criticism. Well, why won't Obama stand up? Why won't he fight for the people who are suffering out here and you know, all this kind of stuff? You know, he wouldn't fight for universal health care with single-payer option. He wouldn't fight for the L.A.
Oh, yeah.
You know, DADT. He wouldn't fight for the, you know, and all these critics, you know, the progressives and the quote unquote liberals, all these critics. I'm wondering, how do you feel about his position on this particular situation with this Ryan budget thing?
I think, you know, just my opinion, but I think that he's doing, he's working this in a way to get something done. I think that if he make a hard stance on a lot of these issues, they wouldn't budge. But he's smart enough to know that he's got to negotiate to get something done and tweak it later. He's just smarter than everybody else, in my opinion. I think he's...
You know what? I hate to interrupt you in your thought, but... You know what? I'm here's what my agreement is with you. I you know, people say, 92% of the people of African descent, you know, black Americans. You know, I was listening to Chris Matthews the other day, and Chris Matthews said something like, the white people this and blacks that. And I'm like, dude, man, why would you say that so that way? You know, black Americans, you know, white people, black people. What, you know, but they just used to use a throwaway term. Anyway, they said 92% of black Americans voted for Obama, and they say it's because it's a color thing. Well, this man, to me, is one of the most phenomenal individuals I've seen in my 59 years of living. I mean, and one of the reasons this guy didn't give the Republicans any ammunition prior to them submitting this budget with Ryan, and the things on this budget that I think are going to be the most distasteful for also the Republicans, not just you know, the people that are going to be ill affected by it, but I think this lady said one is the middle class has been paying, you know, throughout all of the time when these tax cuts have been occurring over the last, you know, since the Bush tax cuts, there haven't been a sufficient yep. amount of jobs created. So the middle class has been paying already. And then taxes, you know, they wanted to cut taxes during the downturn for the, you know, for the wealthy. And here's what it is: tax cuts to the wealthy, subsidies for big business, and then tampering with Medicare. And those yep. are three issues. You know, I think that the Republicans, and it's, you know, for us, to me, it's not technical. You know, these guys try to find a technical advantage, but this is not technical. This is real stuff. You know, we President Obama has said he would take cuts in things that he dearly cared for. But he's, I think, drawn his line in the sand and says, I'm not going any further. If you want to decrease this deficit, you're going to have some type of revenue increase. And the wealthy, and there are those who are wealthy who have actually said that they want to see some tax increases.
That's right.
You know? Yeah, I you know, I don't know if you remember this guy Ben Stein. I don't know if you probably would know him if you ever saw him, but he's a very staunch conservative commentator or whatever
yeah,
you might call him. You know who I'm talking about? Wears the glasses.
Yeah, little
dude.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. He even said that what he said was that he would rather let the tax cuts expire. Greenspan has said, at least let the tax cuts expire. And there was one other person, I think maybe Coburn up in Oklahoma, might have also concurred with them, you know, because it's just unconscionable that children, you know, have to not have health care or not have other amenities that could be afforded them rather than, you know, than to ask the wealthy to pay a little bit more to decrease the deficit, which would put us, you know, put us closer to being able to balance the deficit over the next several years, you know. So he's put them in a position where they have to run against themselves.
Yeah, they're already self-destructing, so I'm not really worried about them. Matter of fact, I think Barack Obama's put himself in a very powerful position right now. If nothing drastic happens between now and 2012, he's a shoe-in, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because these Republicans they're self-destructing right now. We're watching something very remarkable. We're watching them self-disintegrate.
Right.
Because yeah, Barack Obama, he laid this thing out so crystal clearly. If you notice, if you listen to his last speech,
mm-hmm.
he made it simple. He said, now all we got to do is go back to the Bill Clinton rate.
Right.
If we go back there, you know, we can pull this thing back in. And a lot of the wealthy are saying, okay, now they've got a picture of how we can fix this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're willing to pay a little more to get it back to those rates and solve this problem. I think we're seeing something very wonderful. This is a very smart, powerful man. He saved this country single-handedly, in my opinion. He saved America.
One in a million. My thought is, you know, and is that the President Obama is reasonably modest, and what I would say, you know, he and those individuals he had around him have been instrumental in causing the U.S. to regain its footing, and because it was, you know, unquestionable that, you know, the last remaining years and months in 2009, what a disastrous situation we were in. I mean, this guy, I think, if I'm not mistaken, had to come in with a budget, submit a budget earlier than any other past president. You know, and he came in the door with a budget that he submitted. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the budget that George Bush had was $1.4 trillion. And when Obama came in the door, he offered a budget of $1.29 trillion, which is a tremendous, phenomenal amount of money. But, you know, when you look at, again, what Bush inherited, which was a reasonably stable economy.
And a surplus.
And a surplus. And a budget surplus. Realistically speaking, there is no question that the different dynamics that were in existence when President Bush ran and was elected, and when President Obama ran. There is no way to make a comparison of any equality at all. You know, so, you know, he had a stable auto industry, he had a stable Wall Street, he had a stable, a reasonably stable employment situation. And then he had the two military involvements that we began to engage in for whatever reason. And by the end of his term, his budget deficit was huge, was phenomenal. Now, and then when President Obama came in, he didn't have the auto industry, he didn't have any manufacturing base, any way of increasing revenues except to ask the federal government for revenues to assist the failing auto industry, the failing Wall Street, some of the failing major insurance companies, who if they failed would the domino effect to me would have been horrendous on the world economy, you know.
Yep.
And so to me, he came in, as you said, with his administration and took the burden of this spiraling down economy up on his shoulders at 46 years of age. And he began to, you know, when Bush left, it was, what, $700,000, $800,000 a month lost in jobs, right?
Yeah.
One of the million, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and he took it from there, $700,000, $800,000 losing jobs per month, and the red states were losing. Every state was losing jobs. Outsourcing for whatever reason, whatever the reasons were. Some of it was, outsourcing. Some of it was, let me see, what else was it? Mechanical improvements were that they used less people or whatever the reasons were. You know, the jobs were being lost, you know, and you decimate the economy. You decimate the ability of the people to purchase product that were made here in the United States. And whereas, you know, they moved the jobs overseas, so that depleted the economies where we were, and we didn't have the purchasing power anymore because we were sending money overseas to jobs that were overseas, bringing back product, which is crazy. What we need to do, to me, as a powerhouse, economic powerhouse, would be to create the jobs, build a product, and market it overseas, bring the money back to the United States of America. And, you know, that was trade policy, immigration, whatever the reasons were that caused that, you know, downturn in the job situation. And to me, he's addressed it in a rational way, even with combative Congress. And in spite of all that, the guy has done a really splendid job of exceptional for the conditions that he came in under. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he single-handedly saved America. Now he's not gonna get his just due until maybe after he dies. You know, then people will probably give him his props. But what he's doing and what he did is phenomenal. I don't know many men that could have pulled off what he pulled off.
Right.
I mean, we were in a very precarious situation. I mean, this was this was tricky. I don't think McCain or any other politician that I know of could have saved this country from I don't know, just mass hysteria. It would be crazy if McCain would have gotten off. The whole world was on the verge of teetering at that point.
Right.
And I just, in my opinion, I just don't know any other man that could have did it. I thought it was a lost cause. My wife and I, our passports and everything, I'm talking about, we took it that serious. We were getting ready to get out of here. Because we just need some passports just in case we have to make a fast move.
Right.
But Barack Obama came along, man, and I see that this guy was smart enough that he may be able to pull this thing off. And he came in and started giving out some money and these maniacs panicking. They wanted money. So he just flooded them with money because he realized that this was just money. No, this was just like playing Monopoly, because nobody was going to hand anybody any gold. You wasn't going to physically take gold to another man. You were just going to write something on a piece of paper saying that you got $1 billion.
Exactly.
It was Barack Obama was the only one that understood that this was just like Monopoly money. I mean, it was all happening in cyberspace, so he could give them any amount of money he wanted to, and to calm people down.
Right.
Once he got everybody calmed down, then he went into his strategy mode of negotiating, and he's a master. Now our country is on this, and I am so grateful to him. And when speaking Monday, and if God's willing, and I get an opportunity to shake his hand, the first thing coming out of my mouth is thank you.
Right.
If I don't get to say, but two words. Those are the two words I want to express to him. Thank you.
Right.
Hopefully he'll pull me over in a little office and him and I'll sit and chat for a minute.
You know what?
You
have a word for each one of the reasons. You know, those are two reasons that you're going to have with you for saying thank you to him. Granddaughter on the left and that one little granddaughter on the right. That's going to be two reasons.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm going to thank him for them too.
Right.
Thank you for their future, because now I feel like they have the things that you've done. This man, you know, I don't know how people are missing how brilliant this man is.
Mm-hmm.
He is true. He, by every definition of the word genius, he is that. He's a genius. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if he had been, honest to goodness, if he had been a Republican, this dude, probably if his hue was a little bit different, he'd be splattered. You couldn't get him. You couldn't turn the television on any time, day or night, that you wouldn't see him on there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really, to me, and it's just my opinion and your opinion, and that's what this opportunity is all about. One of the million is that we can share our opinions. And let me say this right quick. If you want to give us a call and you disagree with what we're saying, just call us at 347-945-7040. Or if you choose to drop us a line, and this is one in a million, a person that I've grown to admire and appreciate on the line with me, and thanks. And Chad, I was just in the room, and I saw a guest. Let me say I'm grateful to guest 19168 and guest 21939. Thank you for being there. And my dear friend, Mr. One in a Million, thank you. And blessings to you and the family, brother. Blessings to you and the family. Because, I have my two youngest. I got one 18, one 19-year-old two grandchildren, one 15 in California. And then two that are getting ready to be 5 and 6. They're 4 and 5 here in Texas. And this is one reason that I think that we actually fight and struggle, you guys like you and myself, to try to impress individuals that it's not as hopeless and as helpless as they would be led to believe. You know, especially the corporate media, they can't afford. Because they're when I'm talking corporate media, I'm talking ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, and a lot of those other major. Those guys can't afford to say too much about this president being as successful as he is for a simple reason that people are invested in the idea that a person of a darker hue is
there
incapable.
There you go.
And
now,
go ahead.
No, I'm just amen into you, because that's really the bottom line.
Right. You know, and to me, success doesn't have a color. Intelligence, but I was talking with my daughter. My daughter was saying that, she's a teacher this is her first year, and she had a student that said to her that my daughter, she is giving her a lot of trouble. But my daughter says potentially that she was having some problems at home. Anyway, during the process of trying to resolve the issues, classroom issues, the person told her that she was a racist. You know, my daughter, she's in her 30s and all. And you know, they haven't been through what you and I have been through, one in a million. And at 59, I've been through a lot. And I told my daughter, it's not about race. Everybody's a racist. If you're a human being, you're part of the human race. So that makes you a racist. Now, what they may have a problem is color or prejudice. And the first thing, and as I understand it, the administrator said, listen, they don't care what kind of problem she had with this, that, or the other. This is an individual who's hired, and she's not going to be adversely impacted by these kinds of statements, and they're going to be, and much appreciation to them for standing up for what was right, But my point is, and I try to get my daughter to understand that, people will tell you when you try to explain to them that you've been in different situations as a result of your color. And they'll tell you, first thing they'll say is, oh, you're playing the race card. Well, what I would always tell these guys that I work with that would tell me you're playing the race card, I'd say, look at this environment that we're in. How many of you, and how many of me? Now, where is the race card? You know? And when you look at the any representation of employment, any other thing, people want to throw that at you to because they can't refute the information that you can provide them with, and that's the only standard they have left because daddy told me, granddaddy told me. Well, granddaddy could very well have been wrong. And my mom raised me. I was raised single parent, female head of household. And I if my mom was wrong, God rest her soul, she was wrong. And I was going to tell her. I mean, after I got up old enough where I could. But I couldn't accept blindly my mom's perspective if I thought it was wrong. I have to look at it and analyze it. And fortunately, I wasn't raised, you know, I was raised by myself, so I didn't really have a family that influenced me to think one way or another. You know, I'm pretty much an independent thinker in a way. But I'm saying that there are a lot of people who look at this guy, and I'm sure on some level they appreciate and respect him, but they can't override their inclination, indoctrination to be against him simply because he's of a different hue, you know? But when you down Obama, it's like you're downing my grandson. Because my grandson had no choice of his hue, but he does have the choice of whether he's going to be an informed and conscientious and committed and reasonably well educated, because education doesn't necessarily mean that you're an intelligent person. It only means that you're an educated person, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying, brother?
Yeah. I think you know, as time has gone on since Obama's been in office, I've learned that I've underestimated this man. And now I'm beginning to give him his props for being a genius. Mm-hmm. Now, I questioned almost everything he did in the beginning, and found out that he was didn't see the whole picture. But mm-hmm. now I'm putting back on the race issue. I'm beginning, you know, in my mind, in my opinion, I think that Obama is so smart that, of course, he's considered the race problem we're having in this country. And I think he's got a plan for fixing it. Mm-hmm. Not really, maybe not just totally fixing it, but he's got a plan for dealing with it. He's put together a of the best way to deal with race. Mm-hmm. And in little by little I see it's working. You know, he's he's right now, I noticed that my white Republican friends are coming over to his side. It's amazing. I'm watching Obama he's putting out some phenomenal things right now. This man is truly a genius. I mean, he's got Republicans coming over to his side, and they're turning on one another, and they really respect him. And I'm gonna quit. At some point, I'm gonna quit underestimating this guy and quit second guessing him. This guy is just way smarter than me. I thought I was smart, but this guy, man,
you know,
he's in another world, man.
I see President Obama as being a president that we all should have had forever. And I mean, every president should have been like this guy. I mean, they should have been the willingness to talk with the people, not afraid to come out and be interviewed or have a town hall meeting, because the guy represents. He doesn't have to tell a lie about it. I mean, if he's as honest as he can possibly be,
man, yeah,
you know, yeah. And so there's only to me two sides. One is true, and the other one is a lie. And to me, the guy is really happens. It happens to me, in my opinion, that the Democrats are on the side of truth at this point. There could be something that changes that would cause us not to be at some point, but I think my opinion is that we happen to be on the side of truth, which is you can't erase this deficit and improve the conditions in the United States of America with outsourcing, nor can you do it with cutting children, women, and the elderly. You have to increase the responsibility on those people who have benefited the most throughout this downturn in our economic situation. Hey, brother, one in a million. I got to get out of here. But would you call back again? You know you're welcome to it anytime.
All right. I sure look forward to it next Thursday. I appreciate you, brother.
All right. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. God bless you and the family, and all the best to you over the holiday, the Easter and everything, and I hope that y'all have a wonderful trip up there, okay?
All right, then, and I'm going to give a shout-out to Chetologist. What's up?
Yeah, Chetologist, bless her heart. God bless her. She's a sweet, sweet lady. And thank you, Sister Enda Declare, for having been here. Enda Declare, you can hear her at 10 a.m. On Monday through Fridays, I believe, unless she's changed her schedule. But type in INDIADECLAIR, Enda Declare, in the Blog Talk search block. And it'll give you all the relevant and pertinent information about her. Brother, one in a million, let me say again to you, thank you so much for calling in. Blessings to you and the family. And we're gonna roll out of here. And but as always, we'll leave a number in your head. So if you want to give us a call at any point in time, anybody, 347-945-7040. And our blakicz.1@gmail.com. Sister Rabia Ahmed, thank you for giving a call through, and we're going to get your phone fixed, and we want you to call back in sometime. Brother, one in a million, take care. God bless. All the best to you and the family, and we're going to get out of here doing it just like this. We'll be looking forward to having you come back and visit with us next week, and if you have different opinions, please feel free to share them with us right here on the Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Heard 7 until 8:30 p.m. Thursdays. And with that said, all the best to you over the holidays, if you believe in the Easter holiday. If not, we'll just say blessings to you. We'll see you next week, hopefully. Right now, we're getting out of here. Take good care, and have a good week.
Watch out to raise your voices. It's a family affair. It's a family affair. It's a family affair.
Come on, open
it to me here. It's a family
affair. Sing it one more time, y'all. Come on.
If y'all don't remember this one.